the Lord for the way he provides, amen? And continues to provide for his people. This is Thanksgiving weekend, and I see so many of families here together, and what a privilege to have your children, to have your parents, to have friends on the Sabbath here and worship together. Because when it comes down to it, brothers and sisters, this is what it's all about. Amen? What we are doing here this Sabbath morning, praising God, bringing our prayer requests, bringing our praises, this is what it's all about. We've been doing a series on witnessing, and how do we witness in a world that is so dark and then so full of pain and hurt, and how do you face life challenges? If I understand what the Bible says, we face it with gratefulness. Amen? My sister's in Chico, and she was telling me about all the people that have had to move out of Paradise who are now living in the city of Chico and in different places. Some have found small apartments. Some are living in trailers. Some are living in tents still. But everybody's trying to figure out what to do next. But my sister was telling me that as they come to the bank or when she meets them at the store there, she sees people that are grateful. They've lost a house, they've lost a job, they've lost so many things. And yet they are grateful. I heard from somebody who is from this area that's gone up to help out with all the recovery efforts and trying to help out with pets that are now also without a home, and what they've encountered is people who are genuinely kind and loving and caring. Chico has become this place where everyone is trying to help each other out. My sister was telling me that she was on the road and there was a lot of cars and you have students, college students. There's Chico State. And all these college students on the day of the fire were out there with water and handing out these little water bottles. Hey, do you need some water? It's sometimes, brothers and sisters, when things are tough that we recognize what life is really all about. Or we understand, hey, we need each other. We can't do this alone. And this week I had the privilege of visiting with Sister Yolanda. It's a phone call that no one wants to receive. And had the opportunity of praying with her, with some of our church members. And brothers and sisters, what again I saw was somebody who had Jesus in her heart. She has peace. She was not complaining. She told me, God has a plan. God has a plan. Do we understand God's plan? No. But God has a plan. And we can trust him. We can trust him with everything we have. We can trust him with our family. We can trust him with our finances. We can trust him with our work, with our health, with everything. And we understand from Scripture that God's people will go through difficult times. Yes? We understand that. None of us are immune. In fact, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 7 that there will be a group of people that will go through a time of trouble. But what caught my attention as I read about this group of people that will go through a time of trouble like no one else has ever endured. God revealing to John, the Revelator, In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, speaking about this group known as the 144,000. In verse 9, John sees, and he describes what he sees. And he says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands." And what were they doing? Verse 10 tells us they were crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Brothers and sisters, they were with palm branches of victory. Amen? They had made it through. And they cried out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God." Does that give you hope? That gives me hope. That gives me courage. That gives me strength. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, who is still in control, and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Can we witness through gratefulness, brothers and sisters? There's a group of people who have gone through a very difficult time, and they stand now before the throne of God. And they give him honor and power and might and thanksgiving. One of the elders answered, saying to John, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And John answered him, "Sir, you know." So he said to John, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Are we grateful for what Jesus Christ has done for us? Praise the Lord, he can wash our robes white. Praise the Lord, he can give us the strength to continue moving forward. And even though there are so many things we don't understand, and yes, praise the Lord, we can ask questions, yes. Praise the Lord for the hope that we have found in Jesus. A Jesus who is real, a Jesus who lives today. A Jesus who cares about you and cares about each one of our needs. Last week we had the opportunity of having communion, and we came together as a church. We were reminded again of what Jesus has done for us. Last week, Pastor Ivan shared a powerful story of a leper who came to Jesus, who asked him, "Will you heal me? Will you heal me?" And what was Jesus' answer? "Not only will I heal you, but let me touch you. Let me embrace you." The leper must have been shocked. You see, they were used to being rejected. They were used to standing far off from other people. In fact, they had to scream, "Unclean, unclean," every time they came close to anyone else. And people just squirm away and leave them. But Jesus cleaned him. And I want to believe, brothers and sisters, that his fame spread around others who had leprosy. Yes? His fame went around, and people were coming to him. If he could heal a leper, he could probably heal me too. And it wasn't just people who had physical illnesses. There were people who had emotional ones that were desperately looking for healing. Is that something our world needs today, brothers and sisters? Is that something our church needs today? Amen. And praise the Lord, we know where we need to go. Yes? It's Jesus. In Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 tells us the story of not just one leper, but tells us the story of 10 lepers. Imagine that. 10 of them. I can imagine they all came and strategized. How will we get to Jesus? Where will we meet him? He travels a lot. And probably one of them said, I heard he's going to Jerusalem. Wow, that means he needs to come through this village. He needs to come through this area. And Luke chapter 17, verse 11 tells us that it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, and they stood afar off. They knew they couldn't get close. They weren't supposed to. They were supposed to actually stay away from people. But that did not stop them from lifting up their voice. Brothers and sisters, are we called to lift up our voices? Is the Seventh-day Adventist Church called to lift up their voice? Do we have a message to share, a loud cry to give? The lepers were not going to say, unclean, unclean this time. But I want to say in unison, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Is there anything more powerful than the name of Jesus? Is there anyone more caring and loving than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? They recognized if there was anyone who could help them, that was Jesus. And they called him Master, Teacher. Have mercy on us. Praise the Lord that he accepts us all. Amen. He is willing to listen to our prayers, brothers and sisters, if we come. And the Bible tells us just to come boldly, just like these lepers, just say it. You can't offend him. Before you say it, he knows it. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. This time he didn't come close to them. This time he didn't touch them. This time he didn't listen to what their situation was. He just told them, go and show yourselves to the priests. Praise the Lord, we have a heavenly priest. Amen. And we are invited to go. The Bible tells us that as they were going, as they went, each one of them was cleansed. Praise the Lord that He knows the solution to each one of our challenges and situations. Yes? What he will say to one, well, it might be different than what he will say to another person. We all have different needs, amen? We all have different challenges and situations. But praise the Lord, he has the solution to each one of those difficulties, amen? Go and show yourselves to the priests. And the Bible tells us that as they went, they were cleansed. The Bible could well finish right there. Stop. End of story. Great. They were healed. Amen. But Luke takes us a little further. And verse 15 tells us, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a soft voice. Is that what it says? No, it says with a loud voice. What did he do? He glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Here we have a Samaritan doing something we Seventh-day Adventists have been called to do. And that is to shout it, say it in a loud voice, glory to God, amen? And worship him who created the heavens and the earth. How was he testifying? How was he witnessing? Was it because he was cleansed from leprosy? Luke seems to point out that that wasn't enough to witness for Jesus. The witnessing came in giving him thanks. Do we have a grateful heart this morning, brothers and sisters? Yes? Do we have much to be grateful for? Praise the Lord, we have much to be grateful for. We live in the country of abundance. Amazing abundance. And yet God is willing to bless us even more. Amen? Amen. Through his Spirit. He's willing to bless each one of us. Jesus answered and said, where they're not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Hallelujah. We need faith sometimes to give thanks. We need it. Are things always pretty for us, brothers and sisters? Can we find many things to complain about? We can. But do we have much to be grateful for? And Yolanda, we want to let you know as a church family, we're grateful that you came here today. Amen. We're grateful. We're happy that you're here today. And we're going to be praying for her. Amen? Amen. We believe that God has power. Amen? Amen? And we ask that his will be done. That he will encourage you and strengthen you as you go through this very difficult time. Not just you, but your son Robert, your husband Bob. We want to pray that God's Holy Spirit will be with you at this very moment. Witnessing through gratefulness is something that is powerful, brothers and sisters, and something that is desperately needed in Christianity. Amen. Desperately. We have much to be grateful. This week, as many of you know, it was 2 weeks ago now. I had a car accident, and my car was totaled. My wife was kind enough to take me to get a rental, and I looked it up on the internet. I found an economy car, the lowest one I could find. That was the one I was going to get. My wife said, "You better go for the next one." And I thought, what could be wrong with this economy car? It's going to take me from point A to point B. So she took me to the airport, to the car rental place there. And I went to the car rental place, talked to the person, showed him my reservation. He looked at it. He looked at me. He looked at the reservation again. He said, "You know, you have a really small car." I go, "Yes, it's an economy car." So he said, "No, this is smaller than the smart car." Wow, yes. It's a 3-cylinder. I'm like, wow. I won't be able to come up Fallbrook and take a stall on me. And I thought, okay, that's pretty small. He said, "You know, I recommend you don't even take it outside the city of San Diego." I'm like, okay, that sounds very small. So I think I'm going to go for the next largest car. And so when I asked, "Could I upgrade?" "Sure, we can upgrade. It's going to be $10. I said, "Wow, great, $10 per day, not a bad deal. A little more than I was paying, but $10 is good." So no, $10 more. So what's the total? And it almost doubled. So I said, "Wow." I looked at my phone, tapped it, and I said, "I can get that same car for just a dollar more, at least here on the internet." And they're like, "It's going to be $10 more per day." So I thought about it, and I said, "What if I cancel my reservation and make another reservation?" He's like, "It's not going to work." I thought, "What do you mean it's not going to work? It has to work, right?" Says, "Well, your reservation is already here. You can't double book." And he explained, and I trusted him. I said, "I'm going to go check out another car rental." And I did. And the person told me the same thing. You cannot rent a car on the same day. And the reason, it says it takes them 24 hours to basically get it into their system. And they have a long list of people who have already reserved for that day, and they're coming to pick their car. So now I was at the airport. My wife had gone to work. And I thought, well, what am I going to do now? So I asked, "Do you have any other options for me?" And he said, "There's one company that will rent out to you. But I'm going to have to call them." Okay, so he called. He says, "Do you have any cars?" I said, "Yes, we have cars." So we negotiated the price over the phone. It was a little higher than what I was expecting, but said, "Okay, it's still good." And he said, "I'll come pick you up." Okay, so it wasn't there. It was at another location. I sat and waited about 15 minutes, and along comes Tony. Big Hispanic man, and he's looking around and he's smiling and he sees me and I wave at him. "Oh, hi." So we meet. said, I'm Tony. I'm going to take you to where you can get your car. I said, great, let's go. So I got onto his car. And as we were going, he started to share and to open up and to talk about his family, talk about his 6-year-old daughter who was about to have a birthday and how they were all getting ready to have this birthday and the people they were going to invite. And as he was talking, I was listening. And at the end, he knows, well, what do you think? And I shared with him what I thought and then maybe what would work best. And they were just talking as he was taking me there. And then we get there, and I start to fill out my paperwork. And then Caesar's there filling out the paperwork, getting me a car, and I'm waiting. And then he looks at me and goes, are you a Christian? And I go, yes, I'm a Christian. Wow, how exciting. I was like, wow, he's excited of a Christian. I've never had that reaction before, you know. Wow, he's a Christian. And he tells Caesar, and Caesar's like, yeah, I'm too, I'm a Christian. And they're both excited, and they're sharing with me. I was asking God today to help me make a decision, and I'm so glad I talked with you today. And he just started to share what a blessing it had been. I'm thinking, wow, wait till I tell him I'm a pastor. You know, and I tell him I'm a pastor, and he's even more excited. And wow, you're a pastor, and let me share. And he just opened up even more, and he shared, I have been doing this job, and I love it. I get to pray with people when they come from the airport. They have all these needs, and they sit right next to me, and I'm listening to them. And he just shared how he witnesses on a daily basis, brothers and sisters. He witnesses through gratefulness, through thanksgiving, through prayers. What a powerful testimony, amen? Yes. I had to come back again that afternoon. My car had something that needed to be changed, and I asked, and they said, sure, come on back. There was Tony, hi! And he continued to witness, brothers and sisters. He shared again for another 20, 30 minutes. I thought I was going to get him in trouble. His manager was going around. But here was someone who was genuinely in love with Jesus and was not afraid. He was not whispering. He was saying it out loud. He was giving glory to God. He was praising his name. Can we also witness in a loud voice? Are we called to witness with a loud voice? Each one of us has a story to tell, amen? Amen? Of how God has moved mountains for us so that we could get through. And I believe, brothers and sisters, when people hear about the things that God is doing through you and through me, we won't have to send out thousands of flyers. We won't have to put it on the internet. We won't have to put it on the news or on the newspaper. People will come. They're going to want to know, why are you guys so grateful? You're going through these difficult times and you're still faithful to God. You're still putting your trust in Him. What is it? And all glory and praise to God. Amen. For the things that he continues to do for each one of us. I have a few quotes that I would like to share with you at this moment. Desire of Ages tells us Christ has linked his interest with that of humanity. And he asks us to become one with him for the saving of humanity. Freely ye have received, he says. Freely give. Sin is the greatest of all evils, and it is ours to pity and help the sinner. There are many who err and who feel their shame and their folly. They are hungry for words of encouragement. They look upon their mistakes and errors until they are driven almost to desperation. These souls we are not to neglect. If we are Christians, we shall not pass by on the other side, keeping as far as possible from the very one who most need our help. When we see human beings in distress, whether through affliction or through sin, we shall never say, "This does not concern me." Ye, which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. By faith and prayer, press back the power of the enemy. Amen? Speak words of faith and courage that will be as a healing balsam to the bruised and wounded one. Many have fainted and become discouraged in the great struggle of life, when one word of kindly cheer would have strengthened them to overcome. Never should we pass by one suffering soul without seeking to impart to him of the comfort wherewith we are comforted of God. Amen. Have we been blessed? Yes. Immensely blessed. And what a privilege to be able to help and to share and to encourage those that are around us. Many of them right here in our own church family, yes? Many maybe are neighbors in our community where we live, in the city where we live. Many here in the state of California will have the privilege of helping them in their moment of need. Many here in our nation and in our world. We are called, all of us, to lift up our voices, amen? To shout it, to give praises and glory to God for the things that he is doing in each one of our lives. And I finish with this quote saying, "Let us then remember the loving kindness of the Lord and the multitude of his tender mercies. Like the people of Israel, let us set up our stones of witness and inscribe upon them the precious story of what God has wrought for us." And as we review his dealings with us in our pilgrimage, let us, out of hearts melted with gratitude, declare, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people." Amen. Is that something you and I can do, brothers and sisters? Has God given us a cup of salvation? One that we can share with those that are around us. It is my prayer that as we continue throughout this day to ponder upon the great things that God has done for us, that we will also be willing to share with others, to witness to others through gratefulness, through thanksgiving for all the many beautiful things that God has done and continues to do for his people. Amen.